This is Philosophy versus Improv, where two sages try to teach each other a thing or two, and maybe you, the audience, get something out of it as well.
This is Mark Lintzenmeyer. I will be guiding you on your philosophy journey today.
And this is Bill Arnett. I will be leading you on your improv trek.
Sounds good.
Okay.
And our guest joining us on the trek slash journey, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Katie Cawson, and I will help push this boulder up the hill as it continues the Sisyphean task that we are.
Well, I think we will get it to the top this time.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to throw it out there. I really think we will. I really think.
All right. If you believe, I believe.
Sisyphus just didn't try hard enough. He didn't want it.
Right.
See, I don't recall that actually being the issue with Sisyphus, that he was allowed to put it all the way to the top. It's just it would roll back down. It didn't stay there. That was the issue.
Right.
I mean, it's not like
he
got it halfway up and then, like, if that would be a different kind of torture, I think he may just stop trying if that was what happened.
Put a little rock in your pocket, and when you get it up to the top, jam that rock underneath.
Right, just
come
to
on. Work smarter, not harder, Sisyphus.
It's just an engineering
basic stuff. Basic Newtonian physics.
I feel like we've already started a scene of the consultants advising Sisyphus on how to do a better job.
The game of experts.
Yes.
But perhaps we'll just let that play out in the listeners' minds. Katie, tell us a little about yourself and how you are related to this, my co-host here.
To this whole world? Yes. I am the co-artistic director of IO Theater in Chicago. I just took on this role, oh gosh, a year and a half ago, April 2022. The theater, you know, as a lot of places, closed down during the pandemic. The previous owner sold it and hired on Mick Napier and Jennifer Eslin from the Annoyance Theater to kind of consult in getting the theater back up and running. So they hired the new management team, and myself and Adonis Holmes were brought on as our co-artistic directors. So, you know, this past year has been a lot of learning and growing and making mistakes and, you know, all that fun stuff. Bill and I were in comedy sports together. Mm. I think, Bill, did you join late 90s, early aughts?
Yeah, 98. Fall 98, yeah.
Okay.
Many moons ago.
Back in the later portion of the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And that's
right before it all went to hell.
Y2K came and...
people don't really know that. I mean, people were like panicking about Y2K, but really what happened is that Y2K came and out came a little baby Trump, and only 16 years later you can see what happened. I mean, that, him in the 80s, that was a different person. It's like the Paul is dead thing. I want to get something going there.
Okay. I'm getting some conspiratorial vibe from you here, Mark.
Yeah, when do I bring in all my QAnon conspiracy?
Well, so relatedly, I mean, have you had any experience, academic or otherwise, with philosophy other than your time spent on the QAnon boards? I mean, that definitely counts.
My Truth Social messages. No, you know, that's so funny because I was a theater major in college at Radford University in Virginia. But much as you get older, I don't know if your regrets pile up as much as mine do, even though I know that's not the healthiest thing. But it was just a couple credits away from a philosophy and religion minor, just because I love, and I wish I'd just done it, but I was just kept signing up for the classes. You know, it was a liberal arts college. So even as a theater major, it wasn't like that conservatory type of thing where you only did theater classes. You know, you had to have credits all across the board. And I just kept gravitating towards the philosophy and religion classes because the professor, Dr. Gregory, I just loved him and he loved theater and he would come see all the productions. And so, and I ended up directing a play that he wrote in my final year there, which was a very long and very, as you can imagine, philosophical diving into the id of my professor, Dr. Gregory. That was, you know, I didn't have the experience or enough knowledge at that point to know how to A, work with the writer in editing down their piece. It's going to be long and arduous. But anyway, that's my closest tie to philosophy and religion. Now, do I remember everything from that? No, I definitely loved the topics. I think the religion probably more so than the actual philosophy, even though it's kind of all tied together. I just, yeah. Religion fascinates me endlessly, which is why I'm addicted to cult documentaries.
Prepare for more long and arduous.
So without revealing, to explain the format to those who might be new to the show, I brought in a philosophy lesson. It's actually relevant to what you have said so far in the philosophy / religion overlap. And then Bill supposedly prepared, or perhaps will come up with some improv lesson as we are going here. And these will emerge naturally, and you will be asked at the end of the show to vote on which lesson was the more powerful, was the more earth-shaking, was the one that will be declared the winner of this competition today.
Ooh, taking us back to our comedy sports days, Bill.
I know. But just like comedy sports, it's all part of the show. It's all part of the show.
The show begins. You could bleed right into our personal lives. No promises.
Yeah.
Sometimes when a judge doesn't want to just tell us which lesson is better, we make them applaud, and then we take out the meter to see which applause was louder. Yeah. Unfortunately, microphones don't like that very much, doing single claps loudly into a microphone. It sort of all comes out as the same distorted mess.
Indeed.
Any thoughts to get us going, Bill, or questions for Katie? Or
would you say comparative religion, or more like the origins of religion, or just all of it, or the human religion interface?
Yeah, probably origins and the human religion interface.
Okay.
Probably is the most fascinating of just historically. I mean, I haven't read any Joseph Campbell, but I certainly am familiar with the hero's journey, because it does seem to, I think his philosophy is that, you know, you see these kind of similar themes in religion, regardless of, you know, what part of the world it comes from, because, you know, the origins of these religions start all over the world, but it's the connecting, it's where the philosophies of those religions intersect is where you find the truth, right?
Sure.
As if just spread out, we're coming up with these same things in multiple places at the same time, or, you know.
Yeah, there's something very human about that.
Yeah.
Or spiritual.
Right. There has to be some kernel of truth in those intersections, you know.
Yes. Would you say you prefer the more self-help cults or the more religious-y cults?
Which kind of cults?
Which,
not a stacked way of putting that question.
New age religion gone amok, old age religion with an iron fist, or the more self-help?
Anything that involves, I guess, you know, technically it's not really considered a cult unless there's an element of coercive control.
Okay.
Right? And coercive control is interesting, because if you really... all religions have some element of coercive control in there, right? That groupthink, that group mind, which, of course, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Groupthink and group mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it has its place and time, right?
Yeah.
Where it can be used for good, which I think is hopefully how we're doing it at improv, but it is also why improv can be cult adjacent sometimes. It's just that the older religions, you can see the elements of coercive control that were used, but it's just now they've been around for centuries and centuries that it's just not as, generally speaking, in some places it's more intense. There's fundamentalist versions of everything. Sure. But yeah, it's the mindset of why we feel the need to believe certain things to make us feel okay about dying, or to give us a reason or a focus for our lives. And you can go down that rabbit hole of why people sign up for these things. Because, of course, our knee-jerk reaction to people who are in cults is like, those idiots. Gosh, they're stupid. Joining
meanwhile,
a cult.
You've got a tinfoil hat on your head. And
right. But it's a very...
copper whisker. Yeah. But they're the dumb ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very, exactly. It's a very slow indoctrination period. And you catch a person at the right moment in their lives where they're vulnerable or whatever. Any of us could get sucked into something like that.
That makes me want to ask then, when you talk about the intersection between religion, is that because there are some objective truth out there that everybody just, anybody who looks anywhere in the world is going to stumble upon, or is it that we have common human needs? Of course, if religion is something that we come up with for psychological, for social reasons, that it's going to, of course, happen similarly around the world because we're all human beings.
Is there any sort of objective truth when it comes to matters that are spiritual or otherworldly? That is, it seems like that's so... I know religion likes to sell it as objective truth, but it's really just, in my opinion, stories dating back to Greek and Roman mythology and Norse mythology. It's all just versions of stories as to why we are here and why we exist and what happens when we're gone. Is there any truths? I think maybe to me, the truth would be that we're all connected somehow. Most religions attribute that to some sort of God or gods creating us. But clearly, I think there's some sort of connection that I'm personally okay not knowing where it comes from. But most people, I think, generally speaking, need the answers to that.
So it sounds like you're pointing to something that is, if you're saying, I don't know if there's objective truth in this, but there's something that is subjective and universal. In other words, that we have a feeling of connectivity. However, and we can ask each other about that. I have my Buddhist friend and my Hindu friend, and we can all talk about whether we feel that some sense of connection and what that might mean. But we can't necessarily know unless you find someone from ancient Greece talking about, I'm not sure about the particulars of the story of when Zeus turned into the bull and had sex with people, but I do know that the reason that I'm telling that story is out of a sense of connectedness that I feel with the universe, that we don't generally have that sort of introspective talk.
Actually, that story was true, though, Mark.
Oh, okay. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
That is the one actual thing.
It is all the religions find it. This bulls having
a lot of
sex
husbands
with people.
Bought that one. If you say so, honey. Okay.
Pizza at the time.
Okay, yeah. Sounds like something Zeus would do. All right. You're going out again this weekend too? Okay. All right.
I had a nickel.
Every time.
Yeah, I guess the truth is we all want to know why we're here and what happens after we leave. But as to what that fill in the blank is, there's a million versions of that you can come up with.
Now, Mark, I always ask about what the ancients thought. Did the ancients have cults in the way that we have cults?
I'm trying to get at by asking Katie this. I don't know that we know how the ancients...
They were kind of all cults, weren't they?
Well, yes. Yeah. I mean, you can look at... In fact, I would think that ancient religions do not show how we are all one, how we are all connected, but were ways of distinguishing your society. My gods are better than your gods. That sort of the default was a revolutionary thing to say, oh, there's actually only one God and all the rest of yours aren't just crappy gods. They don't actually exist. They're demons or maybe nothing.
False gods. Yeah. Mm. It's like capitalism, right? It's like, I'm sure everybody was talking and sharing stories and folklore about, yeah, this is the story of where our culture believes this all kind of started and how we came to be and what happens after we leave. And then somebody gets a hold of that and decides like, no, it's the opiate of the masses, right? It's a way to control people. We are going to glom on to this set of beliefs and insist that everybody here believes the same thing, because that way we can control this particular society, right? And then that's when it evolves into like a power structure. It's just like your mom and pop invention or little store that sells this cool little gigaw, and then Amazon comes in or some big corporate overlord comes in, buys it up, and now they have control of the market. And I think if like religion became a commodity, something that was just, I think, innate for us to tell stories, the campfire to each other and wax poetic on why we're here and how we got here, then became commodified and then turned into this device to control everybody. Because that's how Christianity was formed, was all the pagan stuff. All of our Christian holidays are based on pagan holidays because they co-opted all of those pagan rituals when they made everybody become Christian.
Yeah, they already had the day off. Let's just keep that day off and we'll just say it's for a different reason.
Sure. I wouldn't say how Christianity was formed because, you know, they were running around as a ragtag group of rebels and stuff before that.
They were the outliers, yeah.
They were the Rebel Alliance. That's why every Christian child needs to realize, or aspiring that like join any religion you want, but the early Christians were the Rebel Alliance. It, like in Star Wars. How cool is that?
Yeah, they were fighting the man and then they became the man.
Well, slow down. It's hard. Being in charge. It's easy to get corrupted.
That's right. That's so true.
Well, and the Empire is a weird sort of theocracy that it's run by Siths. This is their religion, their version of that. But yet they don't advertise it. Like, we're just, I don't even know if you were allowed to, if it was common knowledge that they were Siths or whatever. And they certainly weren't, if there were, I don't know the whole organizational structure, but it seems it was more secular than sacred.
Yes. How is your Star Wars folklore, Katie?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to defer to you guys. I loved the original Star Wars movies and I've loved some of the newer ones, but I think it's overkill, the whole Star Wars thing. Like,
We can step away.
I mean, I think that's a perfectly legitimate thing to say about Christianity, for instance. And you're probably right. I'm not sure anymore of the story that I was told of like, oh, people came up with these ideas as pseudoscientific explanations. I don't know how lightning works. It must be a guy throwing stuff. That sounded very plausible to me for a long time. And now I'm open to other possible reasons why, but at least one picture one might have is, yeah, individuals might say, oh, maybe it's, but once you then, as you say, it gets quickly twisted to be used for political purposes. So I don't know if the political is like the source of the religious, but it's definitely why the religious gets codified and injected on people and that we all have to think the same thing. Certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, geez, look at the right wing in this country. They've completely co-opted Christianity into this thing that power structure and use it for political gain and to advance their political causes and use it to justify horrific, and that's nothing new, right?
Well, humans be justifying. I'll just say that.
Even rationalizing.
What is at arm's length that I can use to justify my horrible behavior? Oh, religion. That'll work.
I can rationalize anything.
Right. So it might not be actually religion that is like at the source of any of this atrocity, but it's the political expedience that we will use anything that is present to hand. If we could use deep-seated class divisions or ethnic divisions, whatever, that's all great. Let's definitely use that to keep people in line. Religion is a commonly used tool for that, but I guess it's a matter of debate whether it is, how much of it is written into the religion as opposed to it just being used for nefarious purposes.
Sometimes you get some militant atheists who will just like, by the way, imagine 10 billion people have died because of religion. If we just got rid of religion, all those people would be alive. It's like, come on, really? Right.
We'd find another way.
This isn't, you're really underestimating our ability to kill people to with little or no cause.
All right, lest I start an improv zine about a debate society about atheism, which I don't want to do. Bill, please start us on some other more practical.
Well, believe it or not, my little improv lesson about connectedness, it does relate to connectedness. I either have to go second, or maybe I can tell Katie what it is and she can do it. But it is a responsive, reactive technique.
Ooh.
That we may have done many, many moons ago, Mark, but I think we should
it's
revisit.
It's okay. My memory is short. My learning is slow. So, yes, if you'd like to message Katie, her
starter. With this, Katie?
Yeah, absolutely.
I will talk to the audience while you're doing that. so that
is this a brainwash? Are you going to brainwash me?
Yes.
Live on air
into the cult. I would think that repeated drone-like phrases are very common. I think they should be used more often. I think they should be on our television screens instead of the Pledge of Allegiance, which actually can be pretty drone-like, and certainly that "Oh Say Can You See." But I think that we're missing an opportunity to make it truly repetitive and brainwashing by having a national anthem that is more like America. America, and just have that repeat over again. Okay, Bill, are you done so I can quit vamping here?
Yeah, let me. Okay, so there.
Bill's writing a whole treatise here into the chat. Oh, I think it's been transmitted. Katie is studying carefully.
Yes,
trying to ignore my voice, but yet I cannot be ignored. My voice is too soothing to ignore.
Okay, I think I get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
Audience, do you feel excluded like I do when the co-hosts on your show are passing messages around privately? Do you feel like everyone in your life is doing that right now? All right, Katie, please.
That
please
makes sense.
Proceed.
So just like, yeah. All right, here we go. Is everybody ready? Can we do this, Mark? Are you ready?
Please.
Okay, now I got to think of something. Gee whiz. We can cut this all out.
Nope,
this can all be edited out.
Nope.
All right.
But despite all that buildup, before you hear the improv scene, I'm going to read an ad, for I must tell you about EveryPlate. In 2024, resolve to stop stressing over what's for dinner. EveryPlate provides plenty of delicious variety with more than 25 tasty and affordable recipes that change each week. I just last night had sweet potato harvest salad, which, you know, I've made my own salads before, but not with 7 different things in it. My wife said, and I quote, "This is the perfect salad for me." So I like the meal kit thing. I hate going to grocery stores. I want to contribute to family dinners and not just make the very few things that I know how to make consistently. We tend to get a lot of takeout, which gets expensive. And I've worried in the past that the meal kit thing is also too expensive to be sustainable. But EveryPlate is America's best value meal kit. So cheaper than your average fast casual meal. This is a very easy way to eat affordably without compromising on quality. The recipes include only the highest quality ingredients, including sustainably sourced seafood. You know your meals will be fresh and flavorful. And it's not just dinners. They've got breakfast 24/7, 15 minutes or less meals, feel-good food, big batch faves, and you can add over 25 convenient sides to your orders, breakfast items, lunches, snacks, desserts, and more. Get a meal for $1.49 plus $1 steaks for life by going to everyplate.com/podcasts and entering code 49improv. Subscription must be active to qualify and redeem the $1 steak. Get started with EveryPlate for just $1.49 per meal plus $1 steaks for life by going to everyplate.com/podcast and entering code 49improv. Subscription must be active to qualify and redeem $1 steak. That's up to a $110 value you're getting. Check out EveryPlate, America's best value meal kit.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
Kids, I thought you'd be excited that, like, I thought your mother and I were thinking that we could do, well, I haven't told her yet. Let me slow down. That we could do a new religion for, instead of Christmas this year, we're going to have, get this, we're going to have Golden Calf Day instead of Christmas this year.
Like a cow? What do you mean?
We're going to have Golden Calf Day this year as an exercise in exploring world religions.
Like my leg? What do you mean? Like leg, like socks? Like yellow socks? Go on my golden calf? I don't understand what you're talking about here.
Kids, your father and I have decided to do something different for Christmas this year.
Okay, honey, this is supposed to be a positive thing. Here, a little.
Kids, you will do what your father and I have decided we're going to do for Christmas this year. We're bringing in the golden calf.
I'm really excited about a golden calf. I've always wanted to have a golden calf in the house, and you always said we couldn't have any pets.
Okay, honey, this was supposed to be a positive, happy thing to explore world religions.
I'm perfectly happy to explore. I don't really understand. Okay. Can you just explain further?
Yeah,
we're going to be slaughtering the calf.
Well,
you're going to kill the pet? That's terrible.
Well, hold on, honey.
I think killing a pet would be fine. I mean,
No, that's a stupid idea.
Why don't you just shut up now, and I will be our spokesperson. All three of us children, me, you, whose name is David, and the young one who cannot, Cindy Lou, who's not yet two. I will speak for all of you now.
Listen, your father and I want to broaden your minds. And there's no better way to open up your mind than exploring other traditions.
We're doing some readings about some ancient Babylonian societies and some of the things that their traditions were. And even though they don't exist anymore, I just thought it'd be a fun thing to do. Killing a calf. Maybe we could a chocolate calf.
The kids need to learn the circle of life, honey. The kids need to learn that they are born and then they die. Okay. And what better way to exemplify that than slaughtering a calf right there beneath the Christmas tree? We will keep the Christmas tree.
Can we do it outside?
Mommy, what's death?
Hey, look, I said I'm taking this, David. Shut up. What do you mean? It seems like a very different thing to have a chocolate calf versus an actual calf. Which one of those am I being asked to sign up for?
The actual living calf, sweetheart. Listen, we are all born to die. And I think the sooner that you embrace that concept, the happier you're going to be.
I was hoping this would be more of a fun, let's learn about other things.
Be fun. We'll dress up in some beautiful robes. We'll lay down a drop cloth. We'll sharpen some knives together as a family.
Honey.
I'm going to go get a knife right now.
Hey, yeah.
No, let's not get knives. I'm not sure where we even get a calf, to be perfectly frank. I wouldn't even know where.
I can look it up on the internet for you. I think it should be pretty easy to get a calf.
Facebook Marketplace? They've got everything.
Yeah, you just search, how can I get a calf? And it just comes right up. Yeah, look, there's a calf. There's a calf 0.4 miles from here. I think we could, it's only $59.
Let's slow down. It's $59?
Come on. That is a Cyber Monday deal if I have ever heard one. Get the truck.
We still have a month to go before Christmas, okay? And I just, Mark, did you have some questions about world religions that you would like answered about Christmas, about other cultures?
You can ask Mommy and Daddy anything.
I heard that some religions let you do it with like multiple people at a time. Like you could be married to, you could have a throuple. Is that something you're gonna do this year?
The FLDS, the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints, do portal marriage, but that favors the man more than it necessarily favors the woman.
Okay.
Did you want to look in?
I don't think he's going to complain about it. Maybe that's one we'll do maybe next year.
Okay.
Sure. I just was wondering if I was going to have more mommies in the house or more daddies or both. You could find a non-binary individual who's probably into this. You don't have to choose.
I'm open if you are, sweetheart.
I think we can learn about religions without having to practice other religions. Okay. That's all I'm saying is that we can learn.
I'm just saying you learn by doing.
Arms distance without ruining the carpet. Would you really kill a calf? If there was a baby cow in here looking you in the face, chewing on it, could you kill it?
Well, I do eat veal.
Yeah. Is that?
But I was thinking more the kids would do the others.
Oh, come on. Let's not do this. I thought it'd be fun. Maybe we should pick something. Let's pick something else. Let's pick something, like Shinto or Buddhism. Let's pick a different, this ancient Sumerian.
Can we do one of those where like everything is alive and everything has God in it? I think that would be cool.
Is that animists? Is that animists?
I mean, something like that. Pantheism, I think.
Let's start though. Let's start with a layup, and then we'll maybe move on to some of the golden calf religions.
I guess I misunderstood our conversation last night, sweetheart. I thought we really wanted the kids to dive in head first.
Well, I did, but I just didn't think it would be killing an animal in the living room.
Everything is has a god in it now, right? We're playing. That's what we're doing. You've already, when you ate some celery, you just murdered some god, or maybe you may cut the god into two gods. I don't really understand the details.
That's a good point, that all those things are alive. We commit murder multiple times a day, every day. What's a calf on Christmas morning?
Could we maybe just bring it in the house and mock slaughter it? And
Daddy, can I hold the knife and do the mock slaughtering?
David, shut up. We're the adults are talking here. I am 12. I'm almost a man. I'm gonna have my ceremony soon. I think I can handle this. Yeah.
David, sweetheart.
What he asked.
David, as sweetheart, of course you can.
Has anyone here killed anything?
Apparently we're killing stuff all the time. I just blew some boogers out and I threw them away. So that's like booger murder. And there's a god, the booger god. And is this what you want us to investigate? Is this actually helping?
I have killed a fish and gutted a fish before. I've done that before, and it's not really pleasant, and it's not even that bloody. And I just think the moment we have a flailing, flinging arterial blood around the living room, I'm just
We'll do a Dexter prep, right? Well, we'll prep the room like
so,
Dexter.
So there was a TV show called Dexter about a bad man who would.
I think he was actually portrayed.
He would murder people.
He was portrayed as a hero, at least up until the last season.
Yeah, we watched that together already. I know it's not probably okay, but Dave, you weren't supposed to fucking tell him about that.
Sorry. Listen, I'm fine with it. I'm just waiting for your dark passengers to emerge so that I can teach you how to channel it in a positive way.
And can world religions help with that? Is that, it seems like most religions have some sort of apparatus for dealing with psychological troubles. Is this the kind of thing? Is there something we're missing out on in our current Lutheran bent?
I don't think not having a dark passenger is missing out. I think that's actually a good thing, to not have the dark passenger. Mm.
Well, honey, I think we all have dark passengers. It's a matter of whether we invite them to the front seat or we keep them in the back seat.
I want to sit in the front seat. You can't sit in the front seat. You're too little to sit in the front seat. I can sit in the front seat. I'm 12.
We'll stop there.
I could do this for an hour.
I know you
half.
Could, Mark. I know you could, Mark.
Oh, Lord. Did I do that right? Even
perfectly.
Bill?
Are you kidding? That was absolutely well. That was perfect. Absolutely perfect. In fact, my initiation was a little rambly, so that made it a bit more challenging. Because you're like, how do I get on board here? But yeah, that makes sense. Looking back over the...
Right,
over
I was
the,
supposed to repeat your initiation.
Well, now the cat's out of the bag. Let's see if Mark figured it out.
Well, I was going to guess. Let me guess before you say the whole thing, Katie. Which is to say yes and then some, to go to agree with the initial person's premise, but to take it to a different emotional place that would be, she was much more domineering or something about it than
similar,
your suggestion.
I think you're real close, Mark. You're real close.
All right, Katie, what am I missing here?
As I understood it, it was, I repeat the initiation that Bill makes, but it's, I adjust or I lay on a how I'm saying it. Mm. Like, emotionally.
Totally.
So
totally.
I interpret it as the way Bill initiated it was like just a light, hey, wouldn't this be fun to explore other cultures? So we're going to work this old aspect of celebration into our, and I turned it into a dark, this is what we're going to do. I laid on that cult-esque.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That we're like, now we do this. We are a family that does this now.
Yeah. Yeah, I typically avoid, I hate to say avoid words like yes and agreement because they can be such heavy improv concepts, but they also lead us towards, well, does yes mean I have to like it? Does agreement mean I go, and they start asking, right. They start begging more questions, and there may be some religious stuff in there. So I try to keep the directions incredibly functional. Just do explicitly this and we'll worry about spirituality around it later. But I thought you did it fantastic. That person was horrifying.
Thank you.
My God, in a very entertaining way.
Well, I don't know if I've exclusively been in a position on in these scenes, Bill, where we've identified that there are a finite small number of people in the room, and it's more than three.
That is correct.
And you guys have already picked parts. So what? I got to be the rest or what? I just decided to take responsibility for identifying in a very ham-fisted way that there are three children here, one of whom will be silent and the other one will hopefully be silent so I don't have to do that stupid eye voice.
Yes. Welcome to improv, Mark. Welcome.
Well, I liked the differentiation between there was the younger kid that was like, let's do this. Yeah. Right. David's like, yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, wait a second. Just so I'm clear.
But I think you did actually, Mark, considering like improviser to improviser, recognize that it is challenging and difficult. And while I might be fun and gimmicky, that we don't want that necessarily to, we have a fun scene going on and we don't necessarily you go on this little vocal vocal jag all around the scene. You had a moment where you're like, let me be the spokesperson. Not that you necessarily have to say that, but I think it was you acknowledging that, like, yeah, this is fun and cool, and hey, if the scene's not going anywhere, I can always do this. I always make, well, we got 20 kids, but you know what, we'll just we're building something that's fun, and I see how certain things can may be fun but may distract from this other thing that I want to do. So that was, I enjoyed hearing you that, Mark.
Well, that was intended to sweep away the other personalities, but then once I've done that, then of course, like, why would the little kid not chime in at inopportune times? And probably somebody could have been the baby at some point. If we had gone on long enough, the baby would have been revealed to be let's make our following world religions. Let's make our baby the Christ child this year.
Right. Rosemary's baby.
Satanism was coming up soon. I think if we're going to continue investigating various religions. Yes.
Although Satanism, since you bring it up.
Uh-oh.
Not that I have studied intensively about Satanism, but I do follow the Church of Satan on Twitter. Because they always tend to, like, respond to people who like to say this is satanic or that's satanic or you're a Satanist and stuff like that. And I have perused their website. And Satanism isn't this, like, ritual, sacrificial. It's more about doing whatever you want to do, just as long as you don't hurt other people. But the idea of it is a rejection of, like, prescribing to what religion, what Christianity specifically, but any other religion, of like, this is how you must live your life. Yeah. It's kind of a bit more like hedonistic in a certain sense. Do what makes you feel good. Stuff that I think Christian society would frown upon, but they're not for like killing people or anything like that.
That's what they say. That's exactly what Satan would love to hear.
Yeah, you've done more research into this than I have, Katie. I thought it was what the things I've heard little bits recently was that sort of like the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster or something, of that it's like Satanist organizations exist to troll regular religions. It's not like that they have this, it's more of a play activity. And then, hey, if you're going to say it's okay for to have a cross in this public space or the Ten Commandments, well, we're going to sue and to put our horned.
Right. They're just disruptors. Yeah.
Our heavy metal album covers should be displayed proudly in the public spaces as well.
There's some pretty well-trolled trollings out there that Satanists have done. I got a hats off.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of their
if
some
that
of their
is things. The function of the Church of Satan at this point, then God bless.
Yes, and I appreciate the irony. Yes.
So our scene was getting a little bit on the idea that I'd come in with, but I think I just need to lay out more of it, which is I've been reading Kierkegaard recently for my other podcast. I'm in fact talking about it later today. And the thing that we've been focusing on is on the difference between dabbling and living your life using more or less aesthetic, artistic judgments to decide what you're going to do next and which ideas you're going to investigate. And is this fun? Is this not fun? Everything gets boring pretty fast, versus making choices I'm going to make choices. And so it seemed, I'm not sure how in the last scene, Katie's character initially was like, this is what we're doing. So that was getting that, but it's not like we're going to be another religion this year. It's like, we're going to do a thing. So I was a little unclear with that character, but definitely the whole approach to, well, let's just try some things from different, oh, do you have any suggestions? As opposed to at least being like, we want to understand our Muslim neighbors. And so we're going to do a menorah. We're going to do the particular symbols as opposed to like, oh, just try whatever. That's the kind of mamby-pamby approach to religion that Kierkegaard, for one, was very much against.
Was he like, you're either in or you're out? Like, you either go all in or not at all? Or
I'm still trying to figure out what his views are, but I wanted to ask you guys what you thought, or Katie, in your past, your interest in philosophy and religion, whether, right, Kierkegaard is known for the leap of faith, that it's not even, it's necessarily that the arguments are so good that they compel you, but that just to be like a coherent person, I need to, yeah, jump all into whatever it is. I don't have to decide necessarily toward Christianity, but whatever it is that I feel like will best actually make me more of a serious person than just a dabbler trying this thing and that thing, that to meet the existential challenge of life means, yes, to go all in on something. Does that resonate with anything you had read or thought about?
I was raised Catholic. And I was all in on, I just like a lot of people, if it's how you're raised, if it's the family you're in and you're like, okay, this is what we believe. This is how it works. And then, of course, as you get older, you either like just continue to do that or like I know a lot of ex-Catholics, and that's probably true of Judaism too. Good friends of mine sent their kid to Catholic school. Like they're not practicing Catholics by any stretch, but it is like, well, this is a good kind of foundational thing. Also, Catholic schools, objectively, a lot of non-Catholics do send their kids to Catholic schools because they tend to have good education. But I don't know. I feel like I don't see anything wrong with dabbling. I almost feel like dabbling is healthier because there are really, like Buddhism, like I keep the Dhammapada next to my bed, which has little Buddhist sayings in it. And it's not like, oh, I'm a Buddhist now, or I'm going to become a Buddhist. It's just some of the things that those sayings in there give me inspiration or hope or consolation if I'm feeling anxious or something like that. I think there are things you can pick up from various different places that will serve you, that are helpful tools that you can use in your life. And I know that there's definitely a school of thought that you got to all or nothing it.
Yeah. Cults are all or nothing.
Yeah.
to a ridiculous degree. And so I can think of some clear bad examples of all or nothings. I'm trying to think of some clear bad examples of dabbling.
Oh, bad examples of dabbling?
Well, you have
Well, that's just it. I think that's just it. It's like, yeah, I agree with this idea that like it probably is best for us to dabble. And the moment we say, well, this religion is all or nothing and I'm in, you're aren't you also saying all the other ones are wrong? Now we're just playing that old game again, the human game of I'm right and you're wrong because I said so.
And it's time for another ad break. I'm wondering if you've heard of a podcast called Can You Don't? Is it clean comedy that's safe to listen to around kids? No. Is it the smartest podcast in the world? Absolutely not. Is it an escape from the madness of your day-to-day life while doubling as a place to entertain that dark humor section of your brain that you're forced to suppress in order to keep a job and not be exiled by your family and friends? Yes. Can You Don't is a comedic podcast where Joe Paisley and Brian Albrandt let it all hang out. Anything and everything is on the table. A big focus of Can You Don't is allowing you, the listeners, to be involved as much as possible by submitting the crazy content you find online, sharing your own dumb stories, or allowing them to get involved in your personal affairs with a segment they call Pretty Beef. Can You Don't is a weekly comedic podcast that explores the depths of the internet in order to retrieve the best and worst examples of humanity, while Joe and Brian openly mock themselves along the way for being complete idiots themselves. Check out Can You Don't wherever you listen to podcasts or at canyoudontpodcast.com.
Hey, hey, it's Donna from Daily Dose of Donna. Every weekday afternoon on the Daily Dose of Donna podcast, I cover all of the reality TV and celeb gossip and breaking news. I'm a former TV casting director. My husband works in reality TV, and I live for the housewives, the sister wives, the southern charmers, and the summer housers. And let's be honest, all of the drama. I'll give you a day's worth of celebrity and reality news weekday afternoons in just under an hour. New episodes of Daily Dose of Donna post weekday afternoons and are now available in video on Spotify. Subscribe to Daily Dose of Donna, that's D-A-N-A, on your podcast app.
I remember growing up as a Christian and specifically as a Catholic, it's like, well, if you don't accept the Lord and Jesus Christ as your savior, then you are not offered the kingdom of heaven. You don't go to heaven when you die. Of course, as a young person, my question is, having lots of Jewish friends and knowing lots of Jewish people, and my dad being like a really brilliant man, very devoutly Catholic, but he also was like taught Asian history and geography and all and anthropology and all that stuff. He's very knowledgeable about that stuff. So I'd be like, so Jewish people are going to go to hell? And he would be like, well, no, it's not. Like, he couldn't really, like, he didn't believe that. But at the same time, he couldn't really explain. But it, we're taught that you have to believe this in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But then these people clearly don't believe that. But he wasn't anti-Semitic or anything.
Right. I don't think Kierkegaard's challenge is for you to pick a team and surrender your intellect to what that team tells you. It would be more like deciding that you are a Christian or whatever, and then having your own definite ideas of what that actually means. And it's probably going to be something somewhat individualistic, because it has to actually ring true to you. Because the whole point is to make you a coherent individual that can act in ways that you will not regret as much as you otherwise would, you know, because you actually are, you know, so planning and thinking carefully. And it's so the leap is not just a leap. That's exactly what he's arguing against, is I'll leap here, I'll leap there, I'll leap there, I'll try this. That's some of the dabbling is, could in fact be a pretty serious, like a phases. I went through, now you're in your improv phase. Okay. As opposed to like, I'm going to dedicate my life to improv. And I want to expand this idea, not just out of like which religion you jump onto, but your life choices, right? Some people call it like marriage a cult. But yet I have joined that cult. Bill, I know, has joined that cult. I don't know, Katie, are you?
Still haven't joined that cult.
Away from that cult. And is there a culty reason?
Still dabbling.
It's awesome.
Is there an ideological reason why that there's something wrong with the institution that is, or it's just the...
No, it's not like I've been a anti-marriage person. It's just I was engaged to be married once upon a time, probably when I first met Bill.
But then you saw Bill and you were like, no.
Then I was like, I can't do this. No, that relationship fell apart. And I don't know. It's always been this kind of internal struggle of what society tells you you're supposed to be doing versus what just we could dig into my psychotherapy of all of it and my issues with commitment or abandonment or whatever, all of that. But the path did not go in that direction, which I am totally fine with, but I feel like the culture doesn't necessarily feel that way. It's like there's still very much, especially as a woman, there's still very much that sentiment of like, what's wrong with you that you've never been married? Why haven't you been married? Did you not like it? Some sort of like big declaration. And I know there are people that do make those declarations, but that's not what it was for me. It was just how it all played out.
Yeah. Now, I know, Mark, earlier we had a guest several weeks ago that this notion, and maybe let me know if this is what you go with when you talk about dabbling, this idea that if you dabble a lot, it allows you to never, the whole like believe in everything, believe in nothing kind of thing. Is that more what you're
That's ultimately nihilistic. right? It is belief in nothing. It is nothing has an absolute value, that you're not positing anything to have an absolute value because you can just change your mind. Yes, you can make choices. You can dive into something. But then the next day, those standards no longer apply.
But just like the Satanists, while there may not be many, I am a nihilist. That is what I do. But there are probably many people who just, through whatever reason, don't believe in anything. Because what if they're wrong? Oh, but what if I'm wrong? So I start making choices based on what's going to upset the fewest people in my perception. You know what I'm saying? Right. I've certainly met that person. And
so getting dragged along, just swept by doing
I didn't realize they're being dragged along. I've certainly met that person in improv, and they're not easy to improvise with, because they will constantly change their point of view.
That's an interesting point you bring up, because it is like, certainly there are plenty of, when you start talking about artistic disciplines and or any specific discipline, you do have to throw your whole self into it to do it well and to do it right and to develop that skill or craft or whatever it is. But I think when you're dealing with something as esoteric as religion, you can get into that blind faith, which can be tricky.
Yeah. Do we need to do another scene, Mark?
I'm wondering if maybe Katie might start one, and I, at least, or you also, Bill, can do it, can try to do, now that your lesson is already on the table. Maybe we would do it in different ways.
Mark, is that I just don't want you to add any more thought, to, like add an independent clause. Just take the words Katie uses, and you can make it conversational. You can change eyes to use or me to just make sure it's conversational, but don't add any independent notions or ideas.
Make it conversational. Don't add notions. No, I'm not going to do that. I just wanted to get that out of the way. That's not what's about to happen.
I'm glad that is out of the way.
This is the Mark's irritating voice episode.
Well, you'll get people who will be like, let's get some ice cream. Yeah, let's get ice cream because it's a hot day and ice cream's so yummy and delicious. Like, well, you know, you're editorializing.
Because Satanists tell me I should get ice cream.
And what's far more interesting is this guy. Yeah, let's get ice cream. Why are you sad about ice cream? It's like, that's interesting. I think that's compelling. And that's all right. So, Mark, you ready?
I'm ready.
So, am I just initiating this scene? Just, am I using this conversation as our inspiration?
If we can explore the philosophical idea by what you set up, or even if you set up using some random, if we can, if it's not too many balls to juggle, it's at least something we could try to do to investigate the philosophy from the inside. It's the theory.
And just so you know, few guests get the honor of initiating a scene. They are usually terrified / incapable. I'm going to say it.
Well, you're just talking about the philosophy guests. The improv guests are probably fine with it.
Gregory, I finally found you. I have been searching for you for years.
Yeah, Gregory, I finally found you. I've been searching for you for years.
Yeah, okay. You guys found me?
You're a difficult man to track down, but I'll tell you what, I've seen all your YouTube videos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just going to finish my burger and head back to work. Kind of on lunch break,
Gregory,
right?
I don't think you realize the impact you have on people when you build the tiny homes in your community.
Thank you.
When you build the tiny homes, it makes me want to change my life for the better.
You have created roofs and places for people to live who did not have a place to live before.
Well, I just do it. It's a fun thing to do. And the YouTube channel is a good supplemental income. thank you. Like and subscribe.
Oh, I have liked and I have subscribed and I have donated.
Oh, well, thank you very, very much. That'll help.
I would like to give you power of attorney over all of my affairs, because that is how much I believe in your mission and what you are doing to help humanity.
Sure. You too, or... Do you know each other? Is this?
I don't need power of attorney. I have other ways of getting what I want. I really like your little homes. Yeah, we met on the boards. I had a tip of where you'd be here. I sometimes watch you when you're here. But I watch you on the YouTube, as well. Sometimes I like, when I see you in person, I like to pull you up on the YouTube, and then I can be like looking at the YouTube and you're looking at you and looking at the YouTube. It's like double vision. Sometimes I could get two devices. I could have you in three places at once.
Well, that's outstanding. That's great. And it's nice meeting both of you. Like I said, I still do have a day job, believe it or not.
Taking the liberty of starting a website based on Gregory the Builder, and I'm signing up members now. We've got about 300 people who are now following you, Gregory, and hang on every word that you say. When we watch you build those tiny homes in your community, it's like our church every Sunday.
Well, I just, so you know, I build them in my community because my contractor's license is only, it's only countywide. I have to. It would be illegal.
Those are the earthly rules, okay? We don't follow the earthly rules. We follow the Gregory the Builder rules. I have a whole webpage on the Gregory the Builder website that outlines the Gregory the Builder.
My rules. You have my rules.
Gather your materials.
That's just what I say. That's just good. That's just sound carpentry advice.
Yeah, but it's the way
Exactly.
Hey, I tell you what. Let me buy y'all lunch. I'll be a little late back to the office, and we can chat, and then we can.
Rule number three is only eat when Gregory eats.
Okay.
We could come back to your office with you.
No. I think that would just be strange.
I mean, I've seen it from the outside plenty of times, but I never had a key card. They wouldn't let me in.
I'm outside of it right now in my car. I spend every single day outside your office just hoping to catch a glimpse of you through your office window.
Okay, I'm just going to say, this is a little weird. This is a little creepy. It's a little strange. I'm at the same time flattered and a little put off. I'm sorry.
Many prophets resist initially, but you need to embrace it, Gregory.
This is strange. You don't you have lives? Don't you have your own families? Don't you have your own?
You're my life now, Gregory.
I only have like 5,000 subscribers. It's not even that big of it. There's other tiny house channels with tens of thousands.
Look out your office window now. I am dousing myself in gasoline and I will set fire.
No.
Just make a point.
Hey, we'll stop right there.
Emoliation's always a great out to us.
Yes, typically. No. Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure exactly where my character was going to get more sinister, but like Katie was, I felt like just being a voyeur of Katie's activities
was probably enough.
I've been watching way too many cult documentaries. It's going to inform everything.
We are definitely playing committed characters.
Yeah. And again, Mark, I felt the way you said that made you very weird. It made you very weird. And my first thought was you would make yourself Gregory. But again, that's optional. Welcome to improv. You don't have to.
How would I have made myself Gregory and yet repeated or just like questioning? You've been looking.
Certainly, that's one way. Oh, you found me. Maybe you don't get every single word in there, but most of the words in there. Or
you found me.
You found me. Or
oh, shit.
It appears you have found me. But again, each of those different readings, Katie mentioned Meisner in a thing. It's this whole idea of like how you say that line is going to do more for us for knowing who you are than any words or any explanation as to, oh, yes, it can be hard to find me because my phone number is unlisted. You know, doesn't tell us about you, doesn't tell us about what to expect from you and how to react to you, how to treat you, as much as, yeah, we found you, Gregory. It's like, you know.
Well, I liked the character choice because it's like there are all sorts of different types of people that are attracted to cults. And you've got the person that's like super like, yeah, airy. Oh, my God. I'm always searching for meaning. And then you've got the person that has the more militant, wants to latch on to a power structure and be the enforcer. And I feel that was your guy. Like, I'm ready to kick ass and take names for this cause if I have to. Like,
well, I'm glad you cut it off when you did because we are running out of our usual time. But this is the first episode where I can feel like both scenes, I really wanted them to go much longer. That I felt like there was much more to explore. It's going to take a little while to, am I going to encourage you as Gregory to embrace your status as a cult leader more serious? Like, is there any chance that we'd get any headway with that? But it would definitely take, I think, bringing you down to the compound, perhaps not feeding you for a while. We'd have to have some fast forwards in the scene to really get you.
Yeah, at what point does this guy, an unwilling prophet, right? Like, that somebody is laying all of this meaning off of just like these nice little small home builder guy that's doing a nice thing for his community. At what point, how many voices is it going to take for you to be like, oh, maybe they're right?
It's like,
I am this.
Money, power, sex, any of those, any combination of those. It's just like, yeah. We're your cheerleaders. And, oh, I have cheerleaders. Wow. Hello. Yeah. Or money or power, those things. All those cults devolve into that, don't they, at some point?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've been reading that Wheel of Time series, going back to that I read as a much younger person, some of it. And the whole premise of that is when you inform somebody that they are the chosen one, they're not just going to be like, okay, that they're going to run out the back door. And so it took a good 400 pages or something for him to admit that he was, in fact, the chosen one. So I think, Bill, you were moving on the right trajectory, but it would have taken another. I think maybe as bonus content, we can post the 500-hour continuous improv where you are convinced that you are, in fact,
the
cult leader.
Radio drama of, yes. Well, I think the one reason why I picked this and reinforced in that selection was when you mentioned that togetherness and world religion and whatnot and galactic truths or truths of humanity, this idea that often in improv scenes that we don't necessarily, we're worried about ourselves or worried too much about what am I going to do? What am I going to say? It's like, oh, let's just take that away and just be together. And I'm going to say the same thing you said, make it conversational, but that's not difficult to change a word or two. But when I do this exercise with students, it's always like, yeah, all the scenes, they were all very clear and they all started together. It's like, yeah, imagine that. So there is a little letting go of the self, letting go of the ego, letting go of what you think might be fun or interesting or whatnot. And just, sorry, that's the restriction. Leap of faith. Mm-hmm. See how I tied everything together there, Mark? As though it was the plan all along.
If it's the third.
Yes, we have learned as part of the letting go process, being very purposeful in, I will explore this philosophy idea from the inside out in this scene. That often drops off pretty quickly. And I think while one could interpret the scene
today
in its light, it was not anything that I was exploring further through that very, very shallow or mysterious character and didn't have the, yes, more interaction would have been required to pull that out of you in a Socratic sort of way to make you explore your various life choices. Maybe if we at least had gotten you fired from your day job, there's no day job
choice
to go back to, Gregory. We've already burned down that building. Yeah, so I guess we're to roll to the stop of this. Katie, was to revisiting philosophy in this way, whether the specific thing I had in mind or just the general conversation we had it, or the improv experience and how your technique has been enhanced, which of these lessons do you think for you and for the world is more important today?
The lessons that we learned in this podcast today?
Yes. We need a resolution.
This is tradition. This has been around for the entire run of this podcast. Quickly realized perhaps this is not as just do it. Okay, just do it. All right. Accept the blood and body. Kneel.
There is no meaning except yes and.
Okay. Does that mean improv one? Does that mean improv one or is that philosophy? Okay.
Okay. All right. I wasn't going to, I feel like improv is one too many times in a row. I wasn't going to tip the scale, but I'm willing to go with that. Thanks so much for joining us, Katie.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This was great. Super fun.
I didn't know what I was walking into and it turned out to be a delightful conversation and a fun time.
Very cool. Thanks for being available.
Oh, thank you.
So long, listeners.
See everybody.
Peace.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Get more at philosophyimprov.com. If you want to support the show and not have to hear any more commercials and get our post-game segments where Bill and I and sometimes guests will elaborate on some things that came up in the episode, reflect on the future, and share our recommendations in the philosophy and comedy worlds, you can see options to do that at philosophyimprov.com/support. Thanks. Bankrupt.